This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack, now extended until the end of August. Order today at EdenPure.com and don't forget to use code word Howie3.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We are here at Cape Gunworks. What a fabulous crowd. I am incredibly flattered that everyone's here early to see me. We're having so much fun. It's a tough day. It's been a really tough week in news. I'm not going to lie. And I know everybody who's listening knows why. We lost 13 U.S. service members yesterday, 95 Afghans. Just a terrible day in American history, really, in world history. And it was a really sad thing to watch. And, you know, I have to say, I was very happy to see all of these people yesterday on my social media and stuff really highlighting just how much our service members do for us. And people were outraged. Even some people in the liberal circles. I saw Angelina Jolie. She's a big humanitarian, you know, part of the UN and stuff. She came out and was just disgusted. There's been a lot of people. It's becoming a bipartisan thing, which it should be. I mean, we should all be horrified at this. It shouldn't matter your politics. We have had a lot of serious news today, a lot of great interviews, if I do say so myself. And before we get to Crazy Karen, which you guys know is a favorite. Actually, you know what, Taylor? I'm not even gonna do anything before it. Let's just go right into Crazy Karen on this Friday.
Her name could be Gina or Beth. She just wants a latte.
I'm putting you on citizen's arrest right now.
Are you serious? For what?
But with a slight inconvenience, she grows angry and outraged.
I have a right to sue you for harassing me, the manager, and this entire company.
And a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Hey, I have seen you around this neighborhood too many times. This is ridiculous.
She becomes the Crazy Karen.
You being a b- is gonna help?
I didn't say anything.
I don't know. Calm down. Calm down.
Ma'am, I'm trying to...
All right, now, if you're new to the Grace Curley Show, first of all, where have you been? But second of all, Crazy Karen is something we do on Fridays. And the Karen phenomenon, it seems like it started with COVID, but it doesn't. I mean, there's been Karens for a very, very long time, including, oh, how he's holding up now. This mask is as useless as Joe Biden. Amen to that. but here's the deal with Crazy Karens. They're not happy when
Howie doing
here.
A separate show?
Yes,
like,
he is.
Right
he's
now?
Doing a separate show. It's a wee bit distracting. But Crazy Karens, they get upset if their lattes are wrong. They get upset if, you know, they're waiting in line. There's all reasons to get upset. There's a misconception that Karens tend to be like Trump supporters. I see a lot of Karen stories about Republicans, but I think liberal Karens are way more deadly, and they're way more painful to listen to. Taylor, you have collected the Crazy Karen stories for today. Lay them on me.
I've got just one Crazy Karen, and this is, it's a pretty good one. The advent of social media, and especially TikTok, has led us down the road where we don't really have to look that far to get a Crazy Karen story, because they post their own nonsense, their own L's, if you will, as the kids say.
Yeah, you know what, Taylor? Karens are like the Biden administration. They brag about their failures because they think they're in the right. You nailed that. It's a strange thing.
Yeah. So this one comes to us from TikTok user That Nurse Rachel, and we can only imagine what this one's going to be about. I believe it didn't specify what state they're in, but it sounds like they're in a southern state. So I'll let That Nurse Rachel take it away. She's sitting in her car outside of the store where this incident allegedly occurred.
Y'all, I completely lost my mind for a minute. So I'm in a store, I walk up to the checkout line to pay, of course have my mask on. The guy in front of me, big old bald-headed redneck looking dude, No mask, of course. I'm standing there minding my own business. And he turns around and is like, there's another sheep. And my automatic response, like without even thinking, was to stand there and go.
What do you think she did?
Bah.
Bah. Bah.
Very good.
Yeah. What can I say?
I mean, I realize that's the worst sheep noise in the whole world, but I made sheep noises at him very loudly and aggressively, and I have never seen a huge grown-ass man be so scared of a 5'2" woman in my entire life. Like, he got his shit and got out of there. So the next time some Trump calls you a snowflake or a sheep or whatever, just match their level of crazy, and they don't know how to react.
Oh, yeah, you really have to match somebody else's level of crazy. That's for sure. You're not bringing your own level to the game. I mean, the thing about the masks is that it really has become theater, and it has become all about showing, you know, that you are virtuous and that you're, you know, you're a sanctimonious liberal. As you can tell, by the way, she immediately judged that man because he's a bald, redneck man. Like, you know, you can tell how tolerant she is by that. But the part of it that cracks me up, what I've noticed, is that liberal Karens, okay, they'll wear the mask into, like, the grocery store, whatever. But if they go to events, weddings, celebrations, where they're amongst their fellow liberals, they don't feel as compelled to wear it. It's only when they're showing us, you know, oh, I'm playing the game here, you know, I'm a Biden supporter.
It is a bit strange. I've got my own family members. And again, for instance, we had a very sophisticated gathering at my house last week. Everybody had fun. Nobody, to my knowledge, is sick this week. So, you know, Joe Biden, knock on wood. But I had family members asking if myself and my wife were vaccinated. What's the point of even asking? There's going to be 50 other guests. You want me to ask every single one of them if they're going to be vaccinated? That's none of my business. But I see pictures of these people, these family members, out at other gatherings, not wearing any masks, going to the store, not in any masks. So they're very trusting of just the general public, but people that are close to them that they know are of another political persuasion,
yeah,
they're not very trusting.
Yeah, I think they think that Trump supporters spread it more easily just by being Trump supporters. Because that's what I saw. You remember Obama had a, as Taylor pointed out, a sophisticated super spreader event for his 60th birthday. You know, true to form, he's an egomaniac. And everyone was fine with that. Like, nobody seemed to have a real issue with it. A lot of people didn't even make the cut. Nancy Pelosi was wandering around Martha's Vineyard, like, looking for an invitation. Stephen Colbert got the cut. It was actually kind of funny to watch all of these liberal pukes get uninvited from Obama's party, but no one had an issue with it. That same weekend, Dr. Fauci goes on TV and he's, like, lamenting and moaning about the Sturgis motorcycle rally. And I really started to wonder, just having Trump derangement syndrome give you an antibody against COVID? Because all the people at Obama's party, I would say 99.99999% hate Donald Trump. So are they immune to COVID? Like, does that give them some superpower? And are the Sturgis motorcycle rally people, they're spreading it more quickly because they're rednecks? You know, I don't know what the liberal mentality here is, but it is interesting to watch.
The COVID festers in their beards.
Yes, and their bandanas and their American flags.
So I do have a corporate Karen story that I know you're going to be interested in, Grace. And this is Comedy Central. Have you heard about this story?
No.
You haven't? I'm very surprised. Comedy Central, they ran, I believe, over the past weekend, a marathon of season one of The Office.
Yeah.
Do you know what episode they omitted from season one's marathon of The Office?
Diversity Day?
Diversity Day, which is episode 2.
I'm not trying to brag. I am an Office fanatic, and only the seasons with Michael Scott. I stopped watching after that. But Diversity Day is a great episode. Now, Taylor, to be fair, when I watch some of the old episodes of The Office, I'm shocked that they allowed it on TV.
Well, you're shocked because you're going by today's standards. It's nothing that when you first saw it, right? Well, did you watch it when it first aired?
Yes, I did. We used to watch it as a family. I know how old does that sound, but we used to watch it Thursday nights, NBC. We'd all watch it. And sometimes Steve Carell playing Michael Scott was so cringeworthy, and he was such a good actor that my father would have to leave the room because he would say, I'm too uncomfortable. Like, that's how good he was as playing
kinda,
Michael Scott.
Kind of like the modern-day Archie Bunker, but with good intentions.
He
said things that he didn't think were very threatening or insulting, but they certainly were. Barstool Sports actually picked up on the episode's absence during the Sunday broadcast of the show's first season. An archived version of Comedy Central's listings for that day confirms it started airing the season with a pilot episode, then skipped straight to Healthcare, which originally aired third. Diversity Day did not appear on the network Sunday's schedule, and Comedy Central is not coming out and saying why.
Well, because they don't like comedy. Nobody does anymore. Comedy is no longer woke enough for people, so they have to try to censor it. It's a really good episode, though. I encourage everyone to watch it. I used to have, Taylor, one of those iPods where you could watch videos on it, and that was like one of the three episodes that I bought, and I would watch it all the time before bed. Really good episode. Highly encourage people to watch it. Just don't go to Comedy Central, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find it on NBC's streaming service, but Comedy Central is not airing Diversity Day. Thanks, all you corporate Karens.
I just want to say, in the words of Donald Trump, go woke, go broke. People don't like that. All right, we will be back. We'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. I have a lot of stuff I want to get to, including, you know what, it is Friday, and we've done we've done a lot of intense news here. But there's a story I think will kind of lighten the mood, bring you into the weekend. Remember Biden's dog, Major? Of course you do. I mean, Major's still alive. Champ passed away recently.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
So Champ was the older dog. He passed away. And, you know, sad. Everyone was asking Joe Biden about it. But Major is the one that got into a little bit of trouble.
He's the problem child.
He was a little bit nippy. He was, you know, trying to bite people, whatever. So we had heard one or two situations where he might have tried to chomp at some people. Well, it turns out, based off Judicial Watch, and I love that they requested this information, there was a time where Major was biting the Secret Service members for 8 days in a row. And I'm going to read you this story. It's pretty amazing. I'm going to read you this story after the break. Due to the great success of the Eden Pure 3-pack bundle, the Thunderstorm Special will last until the end of August. One user writes, "I'm very surprised at how well the Eden Pure Thunderstorm works." You shouldn't be surprised, right, Taylor? This is a great product. I know you love it, and you use it in your basement and also in your kitchen.
Yeah, I use it all over the house whenever necessary. If we are cooking something that has, you know, carries a lot of garlic, I love the taste of garlic, but the smell lingering in a house for a day is not something you want, especially if you're going to have company over. So we run the Thunderstorm after we cook, and it takes care of the smell in a matter of minutes. And the basement is always a fresh smell, even with the cat doing its business down there. You wouldn't know it because the Thunderstorm is running 24/7.
Yeah, your Thunderstorm is really doing its job, Taylor. It's got a basement, and it's got a cat doing its business. I mean, that just shows you this is a product that gets it done. And now you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200, and you'll save $200. And this product saves you time, money, no air filters are required to replace. It's just a great product all around. And like I said, some of these units can cost up to $600. They're big, they're bulky and annoying. Not this. It's like the size of a computer charger. You barely even notice it. Other air purifiers can cost up to $600. This one, you can go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name, put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. This ends at the end of August, so make sure you act now. EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and use code word GRACE3. We will be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curley.
Major out of the doghouse?
Yeah, man. The answer is yes. Major was a rescue pup. Major did not bite someone and penetrate the skin. And the dog's being trained now. Our trainer at home in Delaware.
Survey says that was a lie.
Very fakeness.
Wait till you guys hear this. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Grace, who really cares? It's just a dog, you know, whatever. But if they'll lie about this, and they did, they lied and lied and lied about this, what else will they lie about? Okay, here we go. This is from the New York Post. President Biden's German Shepherd Major attacked many more people than the White House has disclosed. The documents indicate that Major bit members of the Secret Service 8 days in a row in early March, though only one such incident was publicly acknowledged. At least one White House visitor also was bitten in early March, according to the emails, which were released Thursday because of Judicial Watch, which is a great organization. Everyone should check them out. That's Tom Fitton, which slammed the cover-up of the incidents. We're sure Major is a good dog, but these records show he was involved in many more biting incidents than the Biden White House has publicly acknowledged.
Look, nobody was even hurt. Our canine, as they call, I call it a dog.
It is disturbing to see a White House cover-up of numerous injuries to Secret Service and White House personnel by the Biden's family pet. Major and Biden's elderly and since deceased dog Champ were whisked back to Delaware around March 9th. Now, they claimed at the time that this was, just like everything else, just like everything in Afghanistan, it was pre-planned. You know, we knew this was going to happen. This is what we've always wanted to happen. Well, that is false. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki described just one biting incident at a March 9th briefing, saying that one day earlier, quote, the first family's younger dog, Major, was surprised by an unfamiliar person and reacted in a way that resulted in a minor injury to the individual, end quote. Psaki said the return trip to Delaware had been previously planned, already for the dogs to be cared for by family friends in Delaware during Dr. Biden's travels to military bases this week. But emails among Secret Service employees indicated that the dogs were returned to Delaware due to a spree of attacks. The three-year-old Major's misbehavior began in late February when he was with Secret Service agents at Biden's home in Delaware. According to an email sent on Monday, March 1st, this weekend in Wilmington, there were three minor incidents where Major nipped slash brushed up and nudged agents. Secret Service agents were warned in an email how to protect themselves. Quote, panicking or running will only embolden animals. So stand your ground and protect your hands slash fingers by placing them in your pockets or behind your back.
But who wrote these instructions, Major?
I mean, Taylor, you
don't
know
go anywhere. Make it really easy for me.
Yeah, no, seriously. Walk with your hands in your pockets. Then I'll really be able to chomp at you. But for the following week, attacks continued. At the current rate, an agent or officer has been bitten every day this week, causing damage to a tire or bruising slash punctures to the skin. The president's dogs arrived at the White House in late January and traveled back and forth. On Monday, March 1st, an agent was bit by Major at the lake house. That bite caused some bruising as seen in the picture. Not all the bites were described in the email. There was another one where a White House visitor was bitten. The bite did break the skin, according to an email. A pass holder walked out of redacted name and dog made beeline to him, got his arm twice. A group was standing there at the time. Major attempted to bite a Secret Service agent this evening. He didn't make contact with agent skin, but did bite a hole through his overcoat. On Monday, March 8th, an agent was bit by Major on redacted the White House. That bite caused bruising and puncture to the skin as seen in the picture. Were the dogs sent home because of the biting? A Secret Service employee asked in one email. A colleague replied, pretty positive. The family.
Wait, was that spelled PAWSITIVE?
Yeah, this is bad. I don't know if it's as bad as Captain. You know, we might have to get Cuomo on the phone to decide. All right, we'll be right back with more. We'll take your calls. Don't go anywhere. 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Does your dog bat? Oh. Nice dog. I thought you said your dog did not bat.
That is not my dog.
Yeah, so the truth has been revealed that Major is a major pain in the butt, and he's been... But, you know, we always say touching everything but the third rail. He's been biting everything but the third rail. And
Major, the first dog, is what's...
We were going to bring him in to see.
Well, I don't know if that's the best idea, based on what I've heard about Major. Is he back in the White House?
He's back, yeah. He is such a sweet, lovable dog. He really is.
What a classic. That stuff drives me crazy. When people have dogs... And you guys know I'm not a huge dog person. I don't have a dog. I know. People are getting upset. Maureen's getting upset. Howie's going to get upset. He loved his pugs. I'm not a big dog person. But if you have a dog, great. If your dog's friendly, great. I hate when people have dogs that bite and they go, oh, no, you don't have to be afraid. And they, one time I was walking down the street in Southie. There was a woman with a pit bull. Not hating on pit bulls. I don't want the pit bull community to come after me. Please, Lord, not today. But I was walking down the street, she's coming down the sidewalk, and I just crossed over to the other side, you know, because I'm like, yay, yeah, Pitbull, you know, you can keep going, but I don't need to interact. She got offended that I crossed over and said, you don't have to go across the street. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I can. Like, why are you getting mad at me for not wanting to walk past your Pitbull? What's the big deal? This is a classic. Oh, he's such a sweetheart. He really is. He's so sweet as he's like trying to bite every Secret Service agent in his vicinity. Let's go to Pat. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Pat.
Grace, it's a terrific show as always. I wish I was down there with you, but I'm heading the opposite direction this weekend.
Oh, thank you so much, Pat. If anyone wants to come down, we'll be at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis till 6 o'clock, so you still have time. Go ahead, Pat.
Sounds good. Well, aren't these Secret Service guys in a union? I mean, I work in a union, and my union wouldn't let me work in such a dangerous place without some kind of protections involved. You know, I mean, put a muzzle on that damn thing.
Yeah, you know, and the other part of it is everyone else has to wear masks. Just put a mask on them. You know, like, why not? He'll be safer. There's no psychological damage that's associated with wearing a mask all day. Put a mask on Major. Well, to be fair, though, Pat, they did give people hot tips on how to not get bitten, like keep your hands and fingers in your pocket. It reminds me of when you're on a roller coaster. Keep all your limbs inside the ride. Thank you. Howie wants everyone to know, you should be, if you're going to chime in, you should put your microphone on, sir. He's saying their suits are getting ruined. Hold on. He's getting very passionate about this.
This is like Captain. Remember? The victim of Captain was saying, hey, look, I don't make that much money. I buy my suits at Macy's, and this dog is making me fall down and ruin my suits. And now we have the Secret Service is having the same problem. If a dog bites through your coat or your pants, that suit's done, right?
No, you're right.
The caller is absolutely right. I was in a union for many years. This is a grievable offense. You know?
I agree. And, you know, it's one thing to read these stories and it sounds kind of funny, but dogs can be really scary. If you get a nasty dog and you're trying to work in that environment, it's not good. It's not healthy. There's a lot of damage involved here.
Do you think I would ever brought Gunnar to work if it had been biting people?
No, no. I mean, did Gunnar even have any teeth?
Not at the end.
You did bring him to work once, and he was not biting anyone. He was walking a little bit into the walls, but he wasn't biting anyone. Gunnar was a gentle soul. Chris, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, Grace. This is Chris from New Hampshire, and I'm calling because –
today on your show and yesterday on Howie's show and stuff like that, I heard people say that there's a silver lining that if Kamala gets to be the president, that they lose their tie-breaking vote. But all I can say with that is, wrong. Now, you and Taylor might not know because you guys are young, but Howie should know about the illustrious career of Nelson Rockefeller and Gerald Ford, how they both became vice presidents.
He has to be appointed, though. He has to be confirmed, doesn't he, by the Congress? So they, I mean, so Mitch McConnell could slow walk it like he did with Merrick Garland, couldn't he?
I don't believe so, because I think that they tried doing it to Rockefeller. And I think that Kamala would put up somebody like Stacey Abrams or Michelle Obama, or horror of horrors, she could nominate Hillary Clinton to be her vice president. And then, I mean,
have you seen the pictures of Hillary Clinton lately?
Howard.
Oh, Howard. My God.
Stop it. Okay, save that for your show. You can bash Hillary then. Because what I really want to play here before, we don't have a lot of time left. Thank you for the call, Chris. Actually, let's take Russ before we play some of this. I never thought I'd be playing Seth Moulton on the show, but according to Taylor, he assures me this is worth playing. But before we go to that, let's take Russ. You're next with Grace and Howie. Go ahead, Russ.
Grace, it's enough with death by Joe Biden. It's time for Republicans from coast to coast to demand that the 25th Amendment be applied. We must demand rhinos, conservative Republicans in the House and Senate, get the ball rolling. Last night on Laura Ingraham's show, a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient said the 82nd Airborne could respond within 18 hours and clear out the situation there. And instead, the president is not using the 82nd Airborne to save lives. The president is no good. He's a rat. And we must prove to the Democrats that they made a mistake by nominating that idiot and voting for him.
Yeah, I don't think we have to prove that at this point. I think that's pretty obvious. Thanks for the call, Russ. By the way, before we play the Seth Moulton sound, just one other update. This is some good news. Renters must go back to paying their bills after Supreme Court ends Biden's unconstitutional squatter protections.
Does that include the voodoo doctor in Jersey City who had the 9 goats living in his apartment that I talked about yesterday?
Well, I always think of that guy, Badu, from the Washington Post story, who was like, he had this house. He had brought himself into the middle class by buying all this property. And he had this house that was putting him into debt because he couldn't get the guy to pay his rent. And the guy would look at him through the window and not answer the door. And the whole thing was, like, heartbreaking. There's a lot of people who are getting screwed. But, Howie, this is the part I find most interesting. It says, writing for the minority, Justice Stephen Breyer argued that the Center for Disease Control's moratorium extension was justified by the Delta variant surge, all right? The justice attempted to rationalize that the public interest is not favored by the spread of disease or a court second-guessing of the CDC's judgment. Now, and that the public interest strongly favors respecting the CDC's judgment at this moment. Here's my question, Howie. Supreme Court judges, they're the final arbiters of the law. They're not the protectors of, like, the CDC or public interest. What does that have to do with the Constitution? This guy thinks, oh, the CDC should be respected.
Think about it this way, Grace. Joe Biden, Dementia Joe, said, this is unconstitutional, what I'm doing. So Joe Biden had a firmer grasp on the Constitution than Stephen Breyer.
Yeah. That is
maybe it is time for Breyer to retire.
He said it's not. We kicked the tires on this thing. It doesn't have a lot of constitutional muster. And then he came back the next day and said, you know what? We're going to do it anyway. And everyone... no one was that surprised. All right, so now we have Representative Seth Moulton from Massachusetts. He's a Democrat, but he's been very outspoken. He's a veteran, so he's been very outspoken about what's happening in Afghanistan. Taylor, can you just decide for us which are the best cuts to play, and we'll react?
Yeah, so he was talking about the where this was a failure and where he squares the blame, and this is cut 27.
And let's be clear, this failure is not the troops on the ground. The failure is with us in Washington. Because all we had to do is start this evacuation earlier. And we've been pushing the administration to do this for months All we needed to do is start the evacuation earlier, because people were getting evacuated through Afghanistan by just showing up at the embassy like they do at any other embassy in the world.
But
it wasn't going fast enough.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who said this, and there was actually a tweet today by Josh Rogan. He said, Biden is determined to present a false choice between building a Jeffersonian democracy in Afghanistan and this disaster. So he's trying to pretend that he only had two options, stay there forever or have this disaster. And Josh Rogan writes, there was a middle ground that was not perfect, but it was a lot better than this or what's coming. Let's play the next one, Taylor.
The next cut, or do you want me to pick another one?
Yeah, just pick whatever you think.
All right, so here he is talking about what has been called a very bizarre security circumstance.
The security situation there is bizarre, because you've got the Taliban, who we were bombing a month ago, now doing the initial security check for the airport where our troops are. There was a failure there. That's how this bombing got through. Can this continue?
I mean, it's such a cruel irony that the terrorist group that harbored the 9/11 attackers, we now have to work with them to sort through the people who are trying to get to freedom.
Yeah, and a reporter did ask Jen Psaki this question, because that was where, you know, if you knew how these people make excuses, you knew that they were going to say, well, ISIS-K isn't, you know, it was their fault, not the Taliban, so we can keep working with the Taliban. But a reporter asked Jen Psaki, well, if the Taliban is in charge of securing this airport and the checkpoints around it, they had to let in the people who did this. So how are they not responsible as well? And she did her classic circle back, not answer the question. But it is a valid point.
Well, if you played the cut from Kirby talking about how they had all these prison, these ISIS-K people that Biden says we're now going to take revenge on, they were imprisoned at Bagram Air Base. He ordered the abandonment of Bagram Air Force Base, and they were all let go. So now he's claiming we're going to hunt them down. But they were in custody on July 2nd. And remember July 2nd? That was the day he said, I don't want to talk about anything. I want to talk about happy stuff. Remember that? That's the day they abandoned Bagram Air Base and all these people were let go. And now he says they're the ones who killed our servicemen and the Afghans as well. And now we're going to hunt them down.
Yeah, and Jennifer Griffin.
Is this an impeachable offense? As opposed to a phone call? As opposed to a making a speech where you say, everybody behave yourselves?
And Howie, former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says U.S. troops will need to go back into combat in Afghanistan as the region remains on high alert. This is a quote from him. He told CNN, we're going to have to go back in to get ISIS. And he called Thursday's twin suicide blasts by the terrorist group Joe Biden's worst nightmare. We're probably going to have to go back in when Al-Qaeda resurrects itself, as they will with this Taliban. They gave safe haven to Al-Qaeda before. They'll probably do it again. I understand that we're trying to get our troops out of there, but the bottom line is we can leave a battlefield, but we can't leave the war on terrorism, which is still a threat to our security.
But he's a Democrat, like
yeah.
Moulton.
But the hilarious part is every time you say, like, is this an impeachable offense, you have an Aaron Rupar who says, this is a real tweet, okay? I'm not even joking you. This is Trump derangement syndrome. This guy, Aaron Rupar, says, Republicans are cheapening impeachment. Presidential resignation and now the 25th Amendment. Stephen Miller, the king of Twitter, writes, the impeachment bar was lowered to shady phone calls. I kind of think
not even shady. I mean, hello, is this the new president of Ukraine? Congrats.
He says, I kind of think 13 avoidable dead Americans clears that bar. They set the bar incredibly low, and this definitely clears it. We will be back with Howie Carr. He has more to tell you. I've had my fair share of free lunches, but Aviva Trattoria is the best. And if you ever are wondering how you can win a chance to have an Aviva Trattoria lunch in studio, just listen to Woke or Joke on Thursdays at 1:30. Everyone at the Howie Carr Radio Network and at my show love Aviva. Howie, you're a big fan. What'd you get yesterday?
I got the pesto chicken with the tomatoes and the fresh mozzarella cheese.
Oh,
it's
so
really good.
And you also
really
got
good.
Some cannolis.
And I always get cannolis. They only brought four, though, unfortunately. Next week, or the 2 weeks, we're going to have to demand more cannolis.
Yeah, you weren't sharing them
and
either.
Bigger ones. Alex, your sister is nodding her head.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And Taylor brought this up yesterday. She gets first dibs on the cannolis. She's only worked here for a couple months.
She's a lobbyist, though. She's the lobbyist for the cannolis.
She's a cannoli lobbyist. All right. Well, Taylor, what's your favorite out of Aviva?
I don't have a favorite, but yesterday I went with the Aviva Club with eggplant.
Oh, so good.
It was excellent. It was so good.
Yeah, Aviva has great food. No matter what you like, pizza, pasta, sandwiches, they have it all. And they have convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, Westford, and their new location in Malden that has free parking. Just park behind Jackson Street Garage. You can get it validated. And with nice weather, finally, you can also enjoy their outdoor patios and perhaps a glass of their famous sangria. Follow them on Instagram and find out more about their wine dinners. Just go to avivatrattoria.com. We will be back with more. We're at Cape Gunworks. You still have time to get down here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. And Howie's show is coming up soon, and we're going to be doing police blotter facts. So we got a lot of fun planned. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Hey, let me take the one question from the most interesting guy that I know in the press. That's you.
Ugh. His act, I would say it's growing tiresome, but it's so tired. No one thinks it's funny anymore. You are literally smacking your lips right into the microphone.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Weather residential.
We've got a great cheap bastard deal coming up in a matter of moments.
Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will anyone resign over the botched Afghanistan withdrawal?
No. Actually, I said yes first. I'm going to say yes.
9% say yes.
Oh, cool. That's nice.
Well, it's up from last hour.
David Harsanyi tweeted, "The more I think about Biden's presser, the worse it is. He tried to create the impression that people were questioning the competence and bravery of troops rather than the leaders who failed them. Really just despicable." Yeah, it was really bad. And I do want to play one cut here from Joe Biden's exchange with Peter Ducey. I usually think Peter Ducey is a little too nice to Joe Biden, but this was a really good moment here. Let's play cut 22, please.
Do you bear any responsibility for the way that things have unfolded in the last 2 weeks?
I bear responsibility for fundamentally all that's happened of late. But here's the deal. You know, I wish you'd one day say these things. You know as well as I do that the former president made a deal with the Taliban.
12 seconds.
He would get all American forces out of Afghanistan by May 1.
12 seconds before he blamed Donald Trump. And I love how he either says, "Look, here's the deal, you know," and he talks about the press like they're screwing him over. "I wish you'd someday report this." These are the same people who talk about what ice cream you're eating every single day. They're pretty much, "Joe, they're on your team." And he talks about them like they're so hard on him. He's got the biggest glass jaw I've ever seen. All right, guys, Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. He's got a great show planned. We're at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. A lot more to get to today. This is The Grace Curley Show.